Oh, we bless you, Master. And we welcome the awesome, awesome Daddy. We welcome you, Master. We welcome you. Please, take your rightful place here. Please, open ears, eyes, and hearts to receive that revelation and rhema may be manifested in each and every one. Oh, that the old life continue to fade away and a new life continue to birth. Birthing constantly the new life. And one day we'll awaken your image. Oh, Master, we promise to give you all our glory, all the honor, and all our praise. Touch each and every one here. Heal the bodies. Loose each and every one from the torments and the bondages that have entangled them in the affairs of this world. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we welcome the Spirit of the Lord. And to God be all the glory. And everybody said, yeah. Hallelujah! Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for rhema, fresh manna. Thank you for the price of Jesus and the seal of the Holy Spirit and the spirit of revelation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So that we should no longer live for who? Ourselves. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh or to the carnal arena. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. In other words, we're not to acknowledge, we're not to no longer go by the carnal world. We're no longer to acknowledge things according to the carnal thinking, the carnal understanding, and according to the carnal world, no longer. And he says in verse 17, he said, therefore, if anyone is in what? Christ, word Christ meaning the anointed one, walking in the anointing. If you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're in Christ, walking in the presence of the living God. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Now listen, this is very important, because as you're walking in Christ, one of the things that begins to happen is you're no longer living for yourself anymore. Yesterday morning, we had a very powerful revelation. And in this, one of the things that is always coming against us is the spirit of Antichrist. Because as you cooperate with the Antichrist, self becomes growth again. It becomes alive again. But as you're constantly denying yourself and fellowshipping with the Christ, self is constantly being crucified. So there's something that you and I must do, and that's cooperate with Christ. Does everybody understand? So your cooperation with Christ is constantly bringing things new. In other words, you are constantly being born again. You know, we always look at born again as being a one-time event. I'm telling you that it's a lifetime event. It is constantly happening every day. You're being born again. Born again. Now, I'm not telling that you're getting another spirit. I'm talking about that new birth is coming. See, we want to constantly refresh that new birth. That means that you and I must walk in the realm of the area where the tabernacle of God says that there's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And the most holy place is where you're walking in the born again. Are you hearing? That's where you're walking in the spirit. See, walking in the spirit, as you walk in the spirit, you're constantly walking in that born-again state of being. And by walking in that, you're constantly birthing. You're coming new. You're coming new. See, old things are constantly ripping off and falling away. And everything is constantly coming new, new, and new. Remember, you can't feed something new with something old. You feed it with new, so it constantly grows. If you feed it with old, it will contaminate it. Now, I want to go a little bit further here. So we know that the anointing is important, so that there's a spirit of Antichrist that's always trying to come against you from walking in the spirit, isn't he? Why? Because he's trying to bring you to old. because self is the offspring of darkness. So he's trying to, see, he's never given up on you. Satan's kingdom's never given up on you. He still claims you his child. Because you and I were born in his image and likeness. We are not born in the image and likeness of God. We were born again in the image and likeness of God. Are you hearing? Everybody okay? Go to 1 John chapter 2. Now, in this cooperation that you and I must walk in the Spirit, one of the things that the Spirit is always doing is directing us. That's why we have the sword of the Spirit, because what it's always doing is severing. It's cutting things. That's why we go through deliverance. That's why we make confessions. That's why we're killing corruptible seeds and things that we have, not only have we've inherited, but things that we pick up in an everyday life. Why? So we can constantly go walk in the new. We should always strive to walk in new, not old. And in 1 John chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Would you read it with me, please? Do not love the what? World or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the what? Of the world. And the world is what? Passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So you've got to do the will of God to abide forever. But he says, if you love the world is passing away. That means you are passing away too if you're loving the world. Does everybody get it? So in other words, if you're in love with the world and you're loving the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life according to the worldly ways, you are associated and connected with the world. And what we're trying to do is disconnect from this world because the world is a fallen place, isn't it? And everything associated with it. Is everybody okay? Now, go to verse 18. It says what? Little children, it is the last hour. How many of y'all know it's the last hour? Man, it's the last minutes. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the what? The last hour. So the many Antichrists associated with the Antichrist spirit where people have touched and agreed with a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit and have associated now with the Antichrist spirit. And the fruit of a counterfeit spirit known as the familiar spirit or the Antichrist spirit, the first fruit you're going to see is rebellion. Rebellion in any way whatsoever, in any form, is the spirit of Antichrist. It is a familiar spirit, and it's associated with witchcraft. And its fruit will always start with rebellion. Because it's coming against authority, it's coming against the move of the spirit. So people have come in agreement with a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit, thinking that it was their own voice or their own thought or their own thing, and they would swear that God spoke to them to do something, but it promoted rebellion. It's called Antichrist spirit, and it's a familiar spirit. It says, they went out in verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be what? Manifest that none of them were of us. But you have the Christ, or the anointing, from the Holy One, and you know what? And you know all things. So you're going to know, you're going to discern about this Antichrist spirit, which is a familiar, seducing, deceiving spirit that bring a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. And when you come in agreement with it, it always promotes rebellion. So the first thing that you're going to notice in your life of anything that is rebellious, you've come in agreement with a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. And it's called Antichrist spirit. Everybody got it? Now, what it does in this arena, because it's going to begin to promote self. See, rebellion, which is associated with the Antichrist spirit, is going to come against the anointing, the spirit of Christ. Now, you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and still touch and agree with the Antichrist spirit. I don't care how long you've been a believer. I don't care if you've cast out devils, raised the dead. I don't care what you've done. At any moment, in any time, You can come in agreement with the antichrist spirit, that counterfeit spirit, and open yourself to familiar spirits. And the next thing you will do is you will promote rebellion. And then what the devil does is use you to promote it in somebody else. The next thing you know, you have a cancer of rebellion. Why? Because one person touched an degree with a counterfeit. Does everybody get it? I mean, it is so important because he said it is the last hour, isn't it? And one of the things that counterfeit spirit doesn't want to do is be exposed. Oh, he hates it. See, the first thing when you begin to expose the counterfeit spirit, spirit of antichrist or rebellion, it wants to blame it on everybody else. Ain't my fault. Now look at what happened in the garden. What did they do? Eve agreed with what? The counterfeit spirit. She received the spirit of Antichrist. That spirit of Antichrist entered Adam. Then he ran. Hid himself because he was afraid. And both of them rebelled, didn't they? See, the first fruit that you'll notice of the Antichrist spirit and the counterfeit spirit, which is a familiar spirit and divination spirit, is it rebels. And it begins to associate with this familiar spirit and promotes witchcraft. And what the devil is doing is just looking for a gateway to get in through somebody to enter a place or location, fellowship, or a house so he can destroy it. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But first, see, so if your house isn't in order, he's going to use you as a conduit. So the first fruit is what? Rebellion. Soon as you see that, you know that person has touched and agreed with a counterfeit and come and agree with the spirit of Antichrist. Well, I love the Lord. Well, then why are you rebellion? The Bible says if you love him, you'll obey him. He says if you believe, you'll follow. He says if you're truly a disciple, you'll submit to all authority. So understand that anytime there is rebellion somewhere off of somebody, and you notice it yourself, you've touched and agreed with a counterfeit spirit called Antichrist. And it's a familiar spirit, and he loves, see, because when you rebel in any way whatsoever, the Holy Spirit steps back and Antichrist spirit steps in. He says, come on, let's go here. And he makes things look like God. Oh, see, because he knows if he can grab you and pull you, come on. Oh, it's okay. The Lord, no, come on, he knows your heart. Come on, you can touch this unclean. You got dominion over these things. And he's slowly feeding you corruptible seeds until you just explode. He wants you to serve him again, doesn't he? Let me tell you, the devil has not given up on you. The Bible tells us in the latter days, perilous times will come. It's getting worse. There's more and more antichrist. There's more demonic forces being released. We've got to be more discerning, sharper than ever before because we are on the cutting edge of things about to happen in the kingdom. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6. Verse 4. So there's a cooperation with the Spirit of the living God that causes us to constantly sever ourselves from the things and entanglements and affairs of this world. That's constantly breaking our inheritance off of our life, of the carnal inheritance, so that we may birth our heavenly inheritance. In verse 4, would you read it with me? Therefore we are what? Buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the what? Newness of life. Well, you cannot walk in the newness of life if you're still holding on to the oldness. In verse 5. For if we have been united together in likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might. Might means that your cooperation is what brings fulfillment. Might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. In other words, we must constantly keep our flesh, our mortal bodies, our flesh, ourself in a constant state of death. In other words, if you feed something, it comes alive. So you must keep it starved to death. You cannot water it. You cannot fertilize it. You cannot feed it. And you cannot promote it, because it will come alive again. Is everybody all right? Everybody got it? So, we know that sin is the presence of evil, right? And all things relating to the old man are associated with the presence of evil, because the old man was born in the image and likeness of the devil, are you hearing? With the character of evilness and darkness. So we were born as the offsprings of darkness, and then born again into the glorious light of Christ. So in this, we know that sin is the presence of evil. So self is associated with the presence of evil, isn't it? Now that is associated with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is still in you. It'd be nice if we could cast it out, but then you'd die. But we're to keep it dead so it no longer is fed. See, if you feed a tree, it's going to bear fruit. So we've got to keep it in a state of death. That's why Jesus died for us, that you and I would have the power and the anointing of the Spirit that separates us from the old and the new, and gives us the sword of the Spirit, that anything that tries to feed that tree, we can cut off from now on. Does everybody get it? That's why the Antichrist spirit wants to come in, so he can promote that tree to come alive again. Then it begins to bear evil fruit. And the first fruit it begins to bear is rebellion. Is everybody okay? Go to Mark 7. Mark 7. The enemy is going to get exposed today. And we're going to take dominion, because fulfillment of He's in Christ is a new creation, is a constant scripture. The Lord spoke that through Paul. And it is a constant, remember, God's words are life, aren't they? They are life. And in Mark chapter 7 and verse 4, it says, when they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of the cups and pitchers, copper vessels and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked them, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And Jesus answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites. I love that. See, hypocrites is the same thing as idiot. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. So we see here that, go ahead to the next verse. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. Oh, this is so powerful. When the Holy Spirit began to bring me to the traditions, he said, one of the things that my people need to sever themselves from is culture. Inherited culture. I thought, wow. And he began to bring me, and I want to go to Genesis 11. Inherited culture. What do you mean? Well, see, there's an inheritance that is granted to you by your carnal inheritance. Remember, you are what you've inherited. Until we begin to sever all of these things, and I'm talking about your nationality. I'm talking about your culture and traditions that have been handed down. Does everybody understand this? Watch this. Go to Genesis 11. But I love my culture. Well, your culture loves you too. Why? Because it was birth. Your culture was birthed in sin. Now watch this. In chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for what? Ourselves. Hallelujah. Let's be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they proposed to do will be withheld from them. Why? Because they are all one. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. And therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. From there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all of the earth. So we see here, this is where nationality started from. Does everybody get it? Now, was it done? Was it started? Now, I want you to look at this. Was it started in righteousness? No, it was started in what? Rebellion. Do you understand that? See, I want you to begin to look at your cultures and look at the things that have been handed down. When the Spirit began to bring me to this, see, I didn't even realize this. And I've got to share some of this with you. Being brought up in an Italian family, eating spaghetti three times a week, promotion of anything that was illegal. I'm not saying all families are like that. But I was brought up in the area, if you can get away with it, it's good. You can make fast money, we're behind you. And in this, you know, with all the gangsters, no matter what culture comes from, there's always the illegal sort that everybody wants. I mean, and they promote them as heroes. When I grew up, drug dealers were heroes. And in this, it was an inherited culture. When I got sent to prison and I got sentenced to life, I mean, and I was only 20 years old. I am in Attica, my starting run in Attica, sentenced to life in prison. And what had happened was the Italian boys picked me up and put me under their wing so I didn't get hurt. Now, in this, I was involved with these guys that were known as some of the largest gangsters in, you know, anyways, I'm not going to mention any names. And they're the ones that counseled me of what to do when I was in there. See, God was watching over me. And I remember when I walked in that prison, I said, God, I'm not going to blame you for what I did. This is my fault. But because of this culture and because of what I inherited in this, this was a way of life for me. That's what I knew. And it always promoted something wrong. Everything I did, I mean, I felt like Robin Hood for a period of time. Steal from the wealthy and give to the poor. Even in my drug dealing days, I felt like Robin Hood. There was a good heart, but it was still using wicked ways. And everybody has a good heart somewhere in there. There's a part of you that's a goodness, but then there was that wicked ways that we inherited, and that goodness was always covered up in every way possible. And I began to realize that it was my inherited culture. And when I got saved and born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, one of the things the Lord began to share with me is break this stuff off of your life. Get rid of that. Okay. People would ask me, well, what nationality are you? Because people would think I was Indian. And I would say, I'm Christ. I used to be Italian. Well, where's your father from? My father's from Sicily. My mother's from Italy. But I'm Christ. I'm no longer of that culture. And I began to break these things off. I even stopped eating spaghetti. I hated spaghetti. Anything to do with my culture, I walked away from. Every movie, everything associated with, even the flag, all of the food, everything I walked away from. Because anytime I got around, it always triggers. It always opened the door to me. And I stayed totally away from all of it until I was able to have dominion over it. then it no longer affects me. I get around a tans and it's like, hallelujah. Hey, kumbar. Hey, come out. Hello? No longer that they talk, you know how we talk with our hands. It's sign language. People just don't understand it. But anyways, in this, you got to understand that your inherited culture was birthed on sin, on rebellion. And we need to sever it from us. You begin to look at our cultures. You know, and we have the prideful culture. We have the angry culture. We have the alcoholic culture. Come on, think about it. You know, the German, the Irish, the Spanish. And people wonder why they go back, because they're so involved in their culture. And they've never really fully severed it yet. But I'm proud of my culture. Well, you better sever it now. Because if the Bible tells us not to be proud of anything, hello. You sever that culture. Listen, everyone in here was born in slavery. It doesn't matter what color you are. Everyone was born in slavery of sin. Somehow God got us to this country. I don't care how he got us, but he got us. And many people paid the price to get here. My forefathers died and paid the price to get here. They were mocked. People were brought here as slaves. All kinds of things had happened. But see, we don't have to be with that any longer. See, we are now the first fruits. And in this, we need to sever all these things. Look at, you know, the Italians used to wear that horn, thinking it was good luck, and it's nothing but a horn of the devil. You know, they used to do garlic. My mother used to come in and rub garlic on my chest when I was sick, man. I didn't go to school for days, man. Oil, olive oil and garlic. Okay, son, you're sick. Let's rub this on here. I mean, our families all practice witchcraft in one way or another. You know, you go in some people's houses, you see the four-leaf clover over the door. Or you see shamrocks and people celebrating St. Patrick's Day and all of this stuff. And they're wearing green. What are they promoting? They're promoting alcoholism. They're promoting party. Do you understand? See, in this, we've got to sever every cultural nationality associated with us if you truly are Christ. You are a Christian. It is a whole new life, and you are from a whole new culture in every area. And you stay away from that stuff until you have dominion over it. Now I can go eat spaghetti, and it doesn't remind me of my past. I still don't like it. You know, I get around my family and they got all this stuff. You want any guy? No. Caesar sale is good, thanks. Whatever. But understand that we've got to begin to sever these things. You are what you've inherited, and people are not looking at their nationality culture. That must be severed in every area. Does everybody understand this? Go to Genesis 12. You know, you think about, why did the Lord give the Israelites the seven feasts of the Lord? So they come out of their old tradition. He was giving them a new tradition, wasn't he? He was taking from the old into the new. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your what? Get out of your culture, man. From your family. And from your father's house. To a land that I will show you. I make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be what? Shall be blessed. Look what happened to Jacob. Didn't Jacob have to wrestle with God to get a new culture? To get a new name, didn't he? And he became what? Israel. From deceiver, hello, to obedient. Now, I know for some of us this is a little bit hard. Look at bigotry. Look at bigotry that's so much. I mean, and it's coming more and more and more in the world. But see, if you're in Christ, there should be none whatsoever. There's not even a thought of it. It doesn't matter whether a person is black, green, orange, purple. I don't care what color you are. We are not to see any color whatsoever. Why? Because we're spirit. That should have no effect on anyone who's born again. The only one it has an effect on is someone who's coming in a counterfeit. Are you hearing? Or hasn't severed themselves. You know, even in the area where people have been brought in slavery and so forth, that needs to be severed from that inheritance, from that culture. You are free now. You're not alone or any of that. Why? Because it still promotes bitter. All of these things, if you are new, then you're new. You cannot bring anything of old into new. That's got to stop. No matter where you came from, no matter where your family is, you are not of that culture anymore. The way people dress, they walk around with they promote their country with their flags on their shirts. Let me tell you something. Before you do that, you better be in a place where the only thing that you promote is Christ, not what you wear or not what you come from. You come from somewhere new now. You are not of this world. The Bible tells us this. You know, this may sound strange to you, but even God is trying to remove the Jew out of their culture. Into what? Christ. Because they're bound by the law, aren't they? And they walk in rebellion. Why? Because they rejected the Christ when he came. Thank God some of them got it and wrote the Bible. Amen? That's why all eyes are in Israel. Because God chose those people. That's why God says, bless them. Bless Israel. Pray for the peace of Israel. Because that's his hometown. That's where he came as man. And that's the people he chose. But even his own people have been going through tribulation. They went to the Holocaust and everything else. Why? Because they rebelled. Does everybody get it? But he's trying to bring them even out of their culture. In the area of walking with Christ, but maintaining the feast. Does everybody understand? Is everybody okay? Get out of your country. Galatians chapter 1. Now the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's at Proverbs 18:21. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That means that you must use the sword of the Spirit and begin to sever these things off of your life. Galatians chapter 1. In verse 14. Even Paul had to come out of his culture, who was Saul, and became Paul. And it says, and I advance in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. In my own nation, is everybody here looking at this? Come on, read it with me. Be a more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Wow. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Wow, now go to chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Then after what? 14 years. I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. So we see here that Paul, who was Saul, even left his traditions for almost 14 years and then came back to Jerusalem. Do you understand that? He was a wise man according to the traditions. He was a Pharisee above Pharisees. And he believed he was doing the will of God, didn't he? By destroying and catching those who were of the way of Christ and killing families. And watched, even as some of the disciples were stoned and killed before him. Because of the traditions that he inherited. Are you hearing? Is everybody okay? Go to Hebrews 13. I am no longer Jew, Gentile, Italian, or anything. I'm Christian. I'm Christ-like, not man-like. But I am grafted into the inheritance promised to the promised people, the internal inheritance. Are you understanding that? See, but he became two to become one. That we could walk in a newness. Is everybody all right? Hebrews 13:9. Would you read it with me? Do not be carried away about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace and not with what? Foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Oh, ceremonial foods. Soul food. Spanish food. Italian food. German food. All of those represent a culture, don't they? But until these things are broken in your life, every time you associate with these things, it always brings back your culture until you have dominion over it. Are you hearing? Man, you know, you get around some of our old culture type, and next thing everybody's, yeah, and they start talking about, hey, remember this, you remember that? Yeah, high five, low five, and goodbye five. What do? They just opened themselves up, didn't they? Next thing they know, they find themselves struggling because that inheritance was birthed by sin. And it promotes what? Rebellion. Why do you think the whole world is rebellion? Remember, there was the promised seed also. Look at Ishmael. Look at what happened down that family line. Everything's got to be broke. You and I are no longer of this world. We are no longer of the culture we've come from. That was the only way to get us in the world. But we're not of the world. Does everybody agree? Praise God. Look about music. Woo, you get around some of the old music of that culture. That Godfather music, you know, and the Spanish music, the soul music, the whatever music. It doesn't matter, the rock and roll. All of this stuff that begins to promote culture where we came from. That's why we need to come out of it, don't we? Why we need to constantly promote the living Christ within us and feed the tree of life. Is everybody okay? Ephesians chapter 2. Today's teaching is called Breaking Cultural Ties. That's wild because I was talking to somebody yesterday and they said, yeah, they were going to dinner. And I said, oh, where are you going? They said, an Irish pub. You want to go? I said, no, thank you. No thanks. Unless God is sending me in there. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? Therefore, remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have now been brought near by the blood of what? Christ. No other blood. You have been brought close, saved, sanctified by the blood of Christ, not by the blood of a Jew, not by the blood of any culture or any nationality, but by the blood of Christ. Does everybody get it? Why? Because we are Christ. And verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh that enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Is everybody all right? For we were strangers, weren't we? Go to John 15 and verse 17. Ooh, let's go to 16. All right, let's go to 15. All right, let's go to 14. Anybody got a 13? 13? Can I hear 13? Verse 14. For you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Hello? No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yeah, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world what? Hates you, so you're not of the world. So who cares what the world thinks of you? You know, some people want to be popular. They want to be men pleasers instead of God pleasers. You become a God pleaser, who cares about man? Hello? You be a God pleaser and God will move on your behalf. See, the greatest thing, the greatest joy, the greatest peace, and the greatest pleasure you could have is to know that you're pleasing God. There isn't anything greater. But the worst thing is to know that you're not pleasing him, especially if you know the truth. In 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Wow. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, we are another nation ourselves. The body of Christ is a whole nother nationality. It has a whole nother ethics. Everything is different. We all come from the same Father through the same blood now. All of your old cultures are severed. You're no longer what the world has labeled you as. You are Christ. And that's why you're to promote Christ. That's why he says, when the Jews came and some of his disciples and people were coming around and Jesus was doing miracles and they came and they said, Jesus, your mother and father and brothers are out here and sisters. He said, my mother and brothers and fathers and so forth, whatever, are the ones that do the will of God. These are my family. The ones that do what? The will of God. And he said, to do the will of God is food to me. That's why the Bible tells us he who eats of his flesh and drinks of his blood, that's a communion of Christ. But it's also a representation of your food is no longer of this world. Your food is from heaven. The word of life. The drinking of the Spirit that constantly feeds the tree of life in you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Is everybody there? And, okay, let's read verse 10. Who once were not a what? People, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as what? Sojourners and what? Pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to a king or to the supreme or governments. So we see here that he's telling us, listen, you are no longer of this world. You are sojourners and pilgrims here now. You're just moving through. You're just moving through. That's all you are. You're moving through. And in this, you are rescuing as many as can be because your culture is not here. You have an eternal culture. You belong to a totally different nation, and you don't belong to this world. 2 Corinthians 6. So we must sever all of our cultures. Now, I'm not telling you to go home and throw out all your rice and all your beans. I'm not telling you to go home and throw out all your pizza and all your spaghetti, or your sauerkraut. But I am telling you to go out and throw out all your booze. And all your unhealthy movies, and all of your cursed items, and all your jewelry that promotes wickedness. Yes, I am telling you that. and all your pictures to promote evilness and bring forth culture. Shirts, clothing, hallelujah. You know what that idol is. You know where the emotional attachment is in that area. And we must sever those things and break those things. And get rid of those spirits. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Let's read it together. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Oh, I love this. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So he's saying what? Come out from among those things, right? I'm telling you again, we are Christ, aren't we? And I want to close with this scripture, Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. You got to remember too, think about our cultures that worship pagans. Think about how our cultures began to worship pagan gods. Those are called demons by any chance, if anybody doesn't know. Those are people drinking the cup of demons. People still praying to saints who are dead and can't hear nothing. Who are still practicing witchcraft. They try to sell a house and they bury some statue in their yard or something. And they practice all of this stuff and they call it Christianity. There was a bunch of signs going up that said, had a fish, Christian fish on it, and says, we read tarot cards. Said, not anymore. I started tearing them all down. Everywhere I go, I see one of those things, I tear them down. Because I'm going to tear down the altars of Baal. So do you want that in your life? Colossians chapter 1, verse something. Is everybody there? Verse 24. Would you read it with me? We'll close here. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which is what? Christ in you. So everybody here is a Christ. You are offsprings of the Anointed One and His anointing. You have a new nationality. You are called Christian. Hallelujah. You are not Catholic Protestant. You're not a Baptist. And you're not an idiot. You are a wise virgin, anointed, appointed. Amen. Filled with the Spirit of the living God, who's been given dominion and authority over all things of the world. As long as you're out of the world, you have dominion over it. But if you're in the world has dominion over you. Break the cultural ties, whatever they are. Sever it. I am no longer Italian. I'm just no longer. And I like it that way. See, Paul said, position me towards no longer I live, but you didn't live. Paul had to sever it. That's why he counted all dung. Anything that he learned from his past, anything that he inherited. He said he severed it, didn't he? And one of the areas that really caused people to stumble is their national culture that they've inherited. Everybody's breaking everything else, but their nationality. Let's break it. I don't care where you came from. You're broken. You break that today. You get before God and you break that off of your life. You sever it in the name of Jesus. You repent for the sins of your forefathers and you break them off. And you command those spirits to leave you and your children and your families. Forget that culture stuff. We are now Christ. Do not let this food. Remember, even Paul, they were arguing over food, weren't they? They were stumbling over food. And traditions. Traditions of men will always nullify the will of God. But there are traditions that God has established in us. And we walk by them. And we walk by the law of the Spirit, not the law of the letter. The law of the Spirit. So, Father, we just come to you and we thank you, Master. We are honored and blessed to be your children. We are honored to know the truth and the truth set us free. We thank you for Rhema, for revelation, and the spirit of revelation that continue to rest upon each and every one here. That wisdom, knowledge, and understanding will be birthed, and that the sword of the Spirit would be activated in each and every one's life here. Severing our cultures, knowing that we are no longer associated with our past and forefathers, but we are established with our true Father, sealed by the Spirit of promise, washed by the blood of Christ, filled with the Spirit of Christ, now carrying the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the desires of Christ, and the heart of Christ, that we all would be called Christ. And we promise to give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah!